This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome back to another episode of Shrink Chicks.
Take a seat on our virtual therapy couch and get ready to learn all about, well, you.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're both licensed marriage and family therapists and relationship experts. We're the owners and founders of The Therapy Group, a nationwide psychotherapy practice with down-to-earth therapists just like us.
Your session is starting, so get ready to know yourself and grow yourself. We are so excited for our guest today. Emily's doing a dance if you're watching this on YouTube.
If you're not watching it, I'm doing a dance. If you're watching YouTube, you see my embarrassing dance skills already.
This is going to drive people to YouTube.
You should watch it.
You should watch it 100%. But we have one of our incredible clinicians with us, Taylor Nance, licensed marriage and family therapist and boundary expert. Welcome.
Thank y'all. I'm so happy to be here. I feel really excited to talk about this topic that's super important and definitely in the zeitgeist right now. So I'm just excited to get into it.
You know, what's funny is like before you got on, Emily and I were talking because we were like, oh, we're about to do this episode on boundaries. And like, say what you said before we got on.
I said, I don't know. I said, because I'm boundaryless right now. Like if there was two people that need boundaries right now, it's you and I. So like this is part for listeners, but like also selfishly, it's part for us. Taylor has this incredible workshop also that she does with boundaries. We'll talk about more at the end, but mainly I need to attend this. And because here's the thing, I feel like, you know, we talk to so many people that are experts in subjects, but also because we work together, Taylor, you actually have incredible boundaries. Like if we like
that's encouraging to hear.
Wait, you truly practice what you preach, because like if we send you somebody that's like not the right fit or not, you will just straight up say no. Yeah. And I love it.
Yes. We were actually talking about that the other day, like how, because we were talking about your workshop in the office, and someone else was saying, they were like, oh my God, Taylor has the best boundaries. Like she is such a good, incredible person to talk about this topic. Yeah. Because it's true. Yeah. You really do practice it.
You know what? That's really encouraging to hear. I did not always used to be really good. And I think, you know, something that has helped has been really researching and learning a lot about boundaries and just seeing the way that, you know, they've really helped me in my personal life and then also in work life, because I've worked also in places where I had bad boundaries and I was super burnt out and feeling really resentful. And so I'm sure we've all been there and can relate. So I've definitely been trying to integrate it. So it's really great to hear that it's like showing up and people see it because I'm trying.
why do you think the internet's obsessed with boundaries? Like, let's talk about this because I feel like everyone talks about boundaries. A lot of people don't actually know what they are. A lot of people definitely don't know how to implement them. So I feel like this word is such a buzzword.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely something that is not new, but it feels like it's really, really popular to talk about. And I think it's because, honestly, coming off of the pandemic, I think when we got to work from home, we got to do things that were a bit more flexible. I think a lot of people, especially in like working environments, got to see the way that they could still be productive, do their jobs, be an attentive family member, friend, spouse, so on and so forth. And, you know, maintain healthy limits. And so I think now people are heading back into, not I'm saying now it's 2024, but it feels like it was just yesterday.
Yes, it does.
But in the past few years of us transitioning back into our life as normal, whatever that is now, I think we're realizing that there are so many different things that are pushing us into spaces that feel really uncomfortable. And so it's a reemerging topic. It's super important. And I think people are just trying to figure out how to navigate because it's tough. There's so many feelings and all of that that come up with it.
Yeah. Why do you think it's so difficult for us to set boundaries in general? Like, what do you think makes that really hard?
Yeah, a couple of things. The biggest thing that comes to mind first is dealing with unpleasant emotions. I think generally speaking, most of us are not great with dealing with things that don't feel good. And then the other thing is also our context. So like I'm thinking of like the families that we come from, the culture, the environment, you know, our different parts of our identity that impact us as well in the way that we show up in the world and all of that. So I think it's both the unpleasant feelings and then it's also the things that make us uniquely us that impact how we interact in our relationships. Yes.
That's one of the things that I love about the workshop you created is that, you know, it gives you the information on like where this came from, but it doesn't just do that. It also teaches you skills and really like, how does this show up and how do I change this in my life so that my relationships change? Because I think we get like such quick, you know, on Instagram, social media, we get such like quick information. And then we're like, but how do I apply this to my life? What does this look like? You know, what do I actually say? And that's the thing I really love about your workshop is that, you know, it really helps you apply it to your own life and understand how not setting those boundaries affects us. And after that, like, well, then what do I do with it? Which I just think is so needed.
Right. Yeah. 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 That was my hope with the workshop. It's just that it would be a place of learning because I know people have so many questions, myself included, growing questions that keep emerging as new challenges present, but also a place to integrate it and figure out how do I practically do this? How do I deal with unpleasant feelings? How do I deal with pushback, which I think is probably number one question that people have, you know, how can this actually fit into my life? And so wanted to definitely balance the education and the learning, the practice, how do we do these things with also the skills for coping with those feelings that come up.
Okay, so let's talk about the unpleasant feelings, right? Because the number one question we got was how to not feel guilty after I set them, right? So like, it's interesting, the guilt is the emotion that kept coming up a ton with listener questions.
Yeah, yeah, that is probably the biggest thing that comes up for everybody. And definitely when I'm doing work with clients, it's how do I not feel bad? How do I not feel guilty? What do I do when I feel bad? What do I do when the guilt comes up? And I think probably it's a very unpopular answer, but there's no way to get rid of the guilt. And so let's just put that out there first. So if you're
you became very unpopular in that moment.
I know, everybody
they were like, we're done here. We're done.
But that's not the magic pill the people wanted.
It's not. And I'm like, you know, let me deliver the bad news first.
Okay. Good, smart.
So the bad news first is, you know, there's no way to get rid of the guilt. And I think something really important when we're talking about feelings is we don't control our feelings. I always like to make the joke that obviously if you could, you would, right? So if there was something that you could do to just turn the guilt off, you would absolutely do that, but you can't. The guilt comes from this place of not wanting to disappoint people and also not wanting to create distance in relationships that we care about. And so it's a very normal experience that we all have as people, wondering, was I overreacting? Am I doing too much? Is this person not going to respond favorably to this limit I'm trying to set? But guilt doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something wrong. And so I think it's also about the story we're telling ourselves about the guilt and what it means.
I love what you said about there's this feeling of, okay, I don't want to create distance, right? And so I'm not, and I think that's really common is that people have this sense of, oh, if I set this boundary, it's going to create distance. And I just think that's such a common misconception because if you don't set the boundary, it actually creates a level of distance. Actually setting the boundary allows you to show up authentically in the relationship in a way that will create more connection. So I just, I'd love that piece because I think that that really sets a light bulb off for a lot of people. And it's just so important.
Okay. So you said that, so they don't do anything wrong. But I hear so often people say, well, it's just easier. So if my mom guilt trips me or wants me to do it, it's honestly just easier for me to go and grin and bear it than to do anything different.
Yeah. And you know what? There's a part of that, that there's a truth in that, right? I think that it's the immediate gratification of not having to sit with something that just feels so unpleasant. Like, honestly, sometimes I don't know about y'all, but when I feel guilty, when I feel that, it's like you want to jump out of your skin. Like, it's like, how long do I have to sit with the fact that this guilt is really building up? And I think I also want to go back to that story piece, because there's a part of guilt where we're trying to understand, what does this emotion mean? Where is it coming from? You know, are you mind reading? Are you coming up with explanations for why your parent is guilt tripping you, why this is happening, why this person is responding this way? Is that story then becoming, okay, well, then I must be a rude person. You know, I must be overreacting. You know, there's a reason that this is happening, and it's because I'm doing something wrong. And that's why I feel guilty, and not necessarily just that fear of losing connection, or just because it's uncomfortable and because you're trying to figure out, how do I navigate this new thing that I'm trying to do, this new limit I'm trying to set? And sometimes it's hard to know what kinds of limits you need until you try. And so I think that can come with this space of not wanting to make mistakes too, which I think can be a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I think that that's a part of it.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, grease and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Okay, wait. So this is an important question somebody brought up because I love what you're talking about. So somebody wrote in, do boundaries always have to be verbally expressed?
Great question. Not necessarily. You know, I think that there are some things that we need to verbally be very clear and direct about. And then there are other situations where maybe you could just change your behavior. And a simple behavior change can be a boundary. I think, you know, a really simple example of that, I probably have already said this at some point in my life. So if you've heard this before, I don't know who would have heard this before, but if you're my client and you've heard this before.
Wait, if you're a client and you listen, you're probably shocked because we say the same shit all week long. Because we're not that different. Everyone's not that different, folks.
Yes, absolutely. So the behavior change example that I really like to give is if there's somebody in your life who's always calling you at work and you're answering the phone, but you really are like just pissed off about these people keep calling you at work, a simple behavior change, which is a boundary, is just stop answering the phone. Eventually either the person will keep calling and they'll just never get you, or they'll stop calling. But that's a boundary that you don't necessarily have to say anything about, but it's a behavior change that indicates something really clear. I'm not going to answer the phone when I'm at work. I'm trying to focus. I'm busy. Don't call me.
It's so funny because it's like seems so simple, but that actually a lot of people believe, oh, someone's calling me. I have to pick up the phone. I have to answer. My husband, actually, I had this conversation with my husband. He'll be like in the middle of something and he's like stressed out about work. And I'll call him just to like see how his day is going, just to like chat. I'm bored. And he's like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. I just wanted to see what's happening over there. He was like, oh, I'm busy. I'm like, well, you do not have to answer the phone. Like, just don't answer the phone. That's totally fine. I think it was like mind blowing to him that he didn't have to answer the phone.
So, wait, so do you think cell phones have really, I mean, so then in some ways cell phones have like messed up boundaries, right? Like, so like,
absolutely.
You know, 30 years ago, there was a house phone, right? Mm-hmm. So people couldn't get you all the time. You left a message. And now it's like, I think so many of us, especially I hear this all the time with text messages, right? Like, well, they text me, I have to answer.
Yes.
And then you hear this, and then there's another Discord on social media that's like, I know you have your phone in your hands and you're choosing to not answer me. So why do we think, right? So there's two different things here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge change. I think we're constantly available. We're constantly plugged in and integrated into whatever's going on. And I love the example about the house phone because I grew up with one. And if you weren't home, like you didn't get the call. You got the voicemail. Hopefully they left one. And then I remember even talking to my parents about like not having cell phones and going to meet someone. And I had this thing of like, how are you knowing that they were going to show up? Like, you know, how do you know that these people are going to be there?
Right.
And text them and say, are you on the way? Like, there's just this trust that you have to really have. Like, yeah, I wasn't built for that. But I think the phones really push us because we get the calls, the texts, the push notifications from all of these apps. We have people, we're on social media, right? So like, I love the comment that you made, Em, about like being on social media, you're liking posts and then someone's like, I see you on Instagram. Why didn't you answer my call? Mm-hmm. And you know, because I don't have to.
Right. Oof.
Okay, but how about the people that just heard you say that and says, well, that feels mean?
I think that we are conditioned, and I can't speak for every single person, but I think the context of being a woman really comes into this for me, of feeling like I can't say no to people. I have to be always accommodating. I need to be really polite and really kind. I need to put myself on the back burner, especially people who are caregivers. I think there's this sense of feeling like, oh, you know, you can put yourself in a position of not being as important as other people. And I think we have to change this idea that you're mean if you don't accommodate other people. You're mean if you don't always, you know, acquiesce to what someone else would prefer, when in fact it's not. It's not mean. And I think that that's a really strong story that exists for a lot of people.
Yes. Okay, so let's piggyback right off of that. All right. So somebody wrote in, what if boundaries contradict each other? And the example that they give was like boundaries differ between two different sets of in-laws. Because I think when we talk about this idea of we're so worried that we're being mean or any of these things, let's talk about that. So what if we have different boundaries for different people? They contradict.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that question because I get that too, especially when I'm working with clients, is like, you know, what if I don't have the same boundary for this friend as I do this friend, or, you know, in-laws, especially. I think that's a hot topic. Lots of people have things questioned about in-laws. And I think simply put, every person isn't the same. And so you may need a different set of, you know, limits for different people. I think I don't have any children yet, but I think of like kids, and not all kids need the same type of learning education. Not all kids need the same limits. You know, some kids are wild and they're like, I'm just going to do it if I have an opportunity. Some kids are like, you can trust, you can leave them alone with knives and it's fine. Don't leave your kids alone.
But my daughter is the most cautious kid in the world. Like, I really can let her do this because she already is way more cautious than any, like, than I could even be for her.
Right.
But
right.
You put her with her cousin. That dude, right? He would jump off of a diving board, not swim. My kid is like putting her tiny toe in the water.
Yes.
But it is so true that like everyone's different. We don't think about that.
Yeah. That's huge. Not all people need the same types of limits. And then also our relationships with everybody aren't the same. And so, you know, if I have a friend who, you know, maybe I'm closer with than some of my other friends, I may have different boundaries, even about the things that I share. I might be willing to talk about my marriage or what's happening in my family with a certain friend. And then there may be someone else where we don't have that level of closeness, and maybe we haven't built it, or maybe that's not necessarily what our relationship is. And it's okay if those things are not identical.
Yeah. I love the level of like flexibility in that, because once again, I think when we see these like quick messages about boundaries, we try to apply them to all situations. Mm-hmm. But to really be flexible about your boundaries and say, like, where do I want to implement this? What does this look like? But it brought up a question for me. I know I'm like going, you know, off the rails with some of these things. But
no.
But I'm wondering, like, when you see people not setting these boundaries, or women not setting these boundaries, like, how does that show up as they're, you know, in session? How does that show up in their lives? Like, what will you see happening if they're not setting these boundaries?
Yeah. The biggest thing is resentment. You know, people are coming in and they're saying, I don't know why I'm so irritated by so-and-so. I don't know why I'm so frustrated with this person. Or, you know, maybe people saying my friendship with this person has really changed. I don't even want to hang out with them anymore. Maybe we're growing apart. You know, the biggest thing I have is, you know what? Forget that person. I'm just going to cut it off. We don't ever need to talk ever again. You know, is it okay if I just stop talking to so-and-so? And so I think that that's a really big indication to me of, hey, maybe there are some limits that are being crossed here. Maybe there are some conversations that we need to have. Maybe there are some things that maybe you haven't discovered yet that are coming up for you in this relationship that are causing you to feel resentful. And I've had my own personal experience with that. I will tell anybody who will listen, my closest friend that I have, she's still my closest friend. Thank God we made it through some of our hard times. But several years ago, I had to have a conversation with her because I was feeling really resentful towards her. And I was like, you know what? I started to realize I had bad boundaries. And I was frustrated. And I was just like, I feel like I don't want to spend any time with you. But that's my problem. Because you've asked me to show up for you in certain ways, and I've done it, but I've done it at my own expense. Yeah. And I feel irritated with you, but really it's because I'm afraid to say no, or I'm worried that this is going to be a point of contention, when really the point of contention is the fact that I'm irritated because I'm willing to say no in this relationship.
Wow. And you guys worked through that.
We did. Was a huge, you know, I guess just really important part of our relationship. And I feel really proud of that because I was very afraid to even just be honest to tell her. Like, I did tell her I was resentful towards her.
Yeah.
And she received it very well.
It was okay. So somebody listening to that is like, oh, well, that's nice for Taylor. And then her friend receives it well. But if I told my friend that or my mom that, they would lose their shit.
Yeah.
Right? So somebody wrote, is it okay? So I love this question. Is it worth enforcing a boundary even if it's going to cause more conflict?
Yes, yes. Love that question too. Because you're right. I think that that's a really special situation that I have. You know, if you're listening, Courtney, love you.
we love Courtney. Courtney is an evolved human. But what about but what about, so? Because someone listening is like, well, that's so great. And I wish it was that, but let me be clear. You don't actually know how someone's going to react.
You don't.
You're making an assumption, right? So what about the people that are worried? They're scared.
Yeah, I think that you go with the fear because, again, going even back to our conversation about guilt, this emotion is completely normal. It's normal to be afraid when there's something really serious that you have to talk to someone about because there's that element of lack of control. We don't know how this person is going to respond. They might be really frustrated with you. They might not understand. They might question you. They might push a little bit on, why are you telling me this now, right? That could be coming from a place of defensiveness. That could be coming from, you know, maybe this person just had a really stressful day and they're already vulnerable to having difficult conversations. But, you know, on the part of, is it worth the conflict? I would say absolutely. I mean, not knowing this person's specific situation, my general answer is yes, because in the long run, I think it's going to strengthen the relationship because it's going to help both of you learn how to treat each other so that you're able to sustain a healthy connection rather than things continuing to escalate and escalate. And then, you know, that's when you have people growing apart and saying that they can't stay in community anymore.
Right. That is the effect of it eventually, is that, you know, it does drive distance in a lot of ways, because that was what was coming up in my mind of like, well, what's the alternative? You know, like if you don't set this boundary, like then what's going to happen over time?
Well, I think people's fear, right, is that like if I do it, it's going to cause conflict and then I'm going to push them away. They're going to push me away. But it sounds like what you're saying is that if you don't set the boundary, it's going to cause conflict. There's going to be cut off. So it's like, in some ways, like a self-fulfilling prophecy if we don't do the hard thing.
Yeah, it's going to happen. The conflict is already building, right? And so we may not be talking about it, but it's present. And so whether the other person may not be aware of it, or they may be aware of it, and maybe both people are just kind of agreeing, oh, we're just going to dance around this thing that's happening. But you both know it's there and it's growing and growing and growing over time.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Okay, and I love this question because I think it's really important. How to set a boundary and stick to it without caving from feeling guilty or bullied by family?
Yes, I think that that is Also a great question. So many good ones. I think it's hard to stick to boundaries, especially when they require us to have difficult conversations, and especially when the difficult conversation is with a difficult person and we're dealing with pushback. But the biggest thing that is going to help us stick to a boundary is our belief about what the boundary will do for us. So I think understanding what is this boundary that you need? Why do you need it? You know, what are the benefits of implementing this new boundary into your life? And then ultimately, like, what do I believe about boundaries? Do I believe that boundaries are these mean things that cause distance in relationships? Do I believe that boundaries are wrong? Do I believe that if I have a boundary that, you know, I'm going against a value, right? Like some people have really strong family values of love and kindness and community, but just because you have a boundary doesn't mean that you don't share those values. And so I think we have to be really clear about what our beliefs are about boundaries. And that strong belief is going to help us stick to it, because the thing that you need is consistency so that you can really solidify this change that you're trying to create.
Okay, wait. So somebody wrote in, when to know, I'm wondering if this is what we're talking about. I think what they're saying is, how do I know when to use frequent and firm boundaries, right? So repeat, frequent and firm. So I have to say it over and over again and very firm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the firmer boundaries where we're talking about maybe having to create a change in a relationship, those are like, I think that's indicated when there's a repeat offender. So like if you have an in-law, since that's a popular question that people have, if you have an in-law that's showing up to your house uninvited on a regular basis, and you've asked this person, please do not come to my house uninvited. Please don't, you know, just roll through because you're in the area. Please call me before you come. Please text me before you come. If this keeps happening over and over and over and over again, then it might be time to create some sort of firm limit. I think the hard thing with this particular situation is that at the end of the day, we can't really control anybody, but you might have to start changing your interactions overall. If you keep showing up to my house uninvited after I've asked you to call me, we may have to create some distance in this, because clearly you don't respect me. You're not respecting our limits. And so that type of situation where you've been clear, you've held to your side, someone is still trying to, you know, push through the limit that you're trying to create, then it's like, okay, it's time for maybe some more intense consequences or changes in the relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love this one. It's like switching gears, but it's not at the same time. How do you set boundaries with yourself? Not overworking self. Tell us a little bit about setting those boundaries with yourself.
Yeah, I think this is a really, really important one because boundaries are not just for our relationships or our work. You know, it's also for us. Boundaries help us to take care of ourselves. Boundaries help us to pursue our passions, our personal goals, things like that. And so a lot of the same things I think apply to, you know, maybe the outside relationships. But one of the things that you can focus on when you're trying to set a boundary for yourself is really getting in touch with your why. Why am I doing this? What is the benefit for me? And then also sometimes I really like to differentiate between, are you doing this because it's something you feel like you should do? Or is it something that you actually want to do? So are these things that are overflowing from some sort of need or passion that you have in your life? And how can you be consistent with yourself as a way of love, as a way of, you know, expressing your agency, as a way of being authentic to the type of person that you want to be, and really getting in touch with that deeper meaning for why you want to do this thing, why you want to go to bed earlier, why you want to, you know, start painting or doing whatever type of thing, or why you feel like you need to start joining groups so that you can make friends. What is the reason for doing this new thing?
Mm. Oh, I like that.
Because I think one of the things that's so important, like kind of the basis of that too, is just getting in touch with what you want and how you feel in general. And I think that that's really, especially for women, I think that's really hard because we've been so conditioned to think about other people, taking care of other people. So it sounds like that in order to be able to set these boundaries with yourself and other people, that
the basis of that is, well, how do I get in touch with myself first? Mm-hmm. And then what does that look like after that?
Yeah. I think sometimes the way that I like to think about creating consistency when it comes to boundaries is really first getting clear about, like you said, Jen, what your reasoning is, what you're hoping for. And I think that that's always a really good thing that you can go back to when you're struggling and you're wavering with, okay, why am I doing this? What's the point of, you know, holding this limit? Because I lost my train of thought with that.
Oh, you're doing great.
Great.
And that is that.
That was it. Just period.
Period. That's it. Period.
Know yourself.
Wait. Okay. Wait. Can I just say another reason why I love you, Taylor? Do you know how many people would have just kept going with that sentence and just said nothing, right? And then they'd be like, "Well, I don't know." Like, I will do that. Like, I'll just like be like, "I'm just gonna keep going."
Me too.
And you're just like, "No, I have nothing else to say. And I lost my train of thought." So, okay. Wait. Holy shit. So we're talking about honesty.
We're
talking a lot about honesty and being transparent. Yeah. And you just did such a good example of that. You honestly lost your train of thought and then you just admitted it.
Yeah.
Why are we so goddamn scared to do this?
I don't know. I lose my train of thought all the time. And then I just say the same thing over and over and over again.
You know? Yeah.
No, how do you do it? I'm just want to know, right? Like, it's so much honesty, and we're all so scared to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I do the same thing with my clients. I think that I have become really comfortable with just, I think that it's authenticity, right? Like, I think that there's something really authentic about losing your train of thought, about missing the point, about you know, not getting to where you want to go. And I think for me, I mean, since we're talking about beliefs and things that we want, one of the things I really, really want to do in life is show up as myself. And so whenever I have a moment where, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to make a point, this exact situation, and then I genuinely lose my train of thought, or I feel like, wait, where am I even going with that? I think that's an opportunity for me to be authentic. And so I think that practicing that over and over and over again, and then also having the experience of people being cool about it, like, I think has really helped me to feel comfortable in that. And of course, there's the fear of like, okay, these people are going to be like, this girl doesn't know what she's talking about. Right. She's not a professional. She's not a real human.
to be a robot.
It is the fear of being human.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's just so relatable, right? And I think that that's what that's kind of the whole piece of this is, it's everyone has been through that. Everyone experiences this, you know, everyone experiences challenges with boundaries, everyone. So it's just to, you know, we talk about this all the time, like for you to show up so authentically, it gives other people permission to also feel like they can show up authentically. And that's what I think is incredible about your workshop, your boundary workshop that you put on, is that you create a space that allows people to feel like they can show up so authentically. And I think so often in life, we have these walls up because it doesn't feel safe to do that. And so that's one of the things I just love about this boundary workshop that you have, is how you really create a space for everyone to show up really authentically, to talk about some of the struggles that they have with their boundaries so that they can start to implement them and move forward. Can you tell us a little bit about the workshop?
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be really great. Everyone should join. So it's an 8-week. Yeah, come on in.
Thanks.
It's a 8-week group workshop focused on learning how to set and maintain healthy boundaries. Each week we're going to be talking about something different. So talking about the foundational education of, you know, what are boundaries, what types of boundaries can a person have? How can a person go about identifying the types of boundaries that they need in their life and learning how to set them? there's also some really good discussions about the connection between, you know, low self-worth and boundaries. We're going to have good discussions about our families of origin, you know, and the systemic context that impact how we learned about boundaries and, you know, the ways that we show up now, the types of lessons we want to keep, maybe some stuff we want to do away with so we can create new ways of going about it. Of course, work, of course, relationships, burnout, being a caregiver. And then everybody's number one question, what do I do when people throw adult tantrums? How can I deal with pushback? So lots of really good discussions. And throughout this, it'll be an intimate group. And my hope with that is that people can really feel comfortable to share vulnerably. People can support each other. They can connect with other people who are learning these same things. It's something that I think we can all benefit from. I wish I could have gone to something like this when, you know, I was learning these skills. And so my hope is that it'll just really be a great group of women coming together to learn, to support one another, and to practice. Groups are really great for accountability too. So yeah, I'm hoping that will help too.
Absolutely.
So this cohort starts March 27th, but there's only a few spots left. But if you don't get into this one, still email, because we'll put you on the email for the next round that you do. So don't, if you're listening to this later, sometimes people listen to episodes weeks later. If you're listening, it doesn't matter. You can still do this. You'll just be in the next cohort. So still give us the email and you can still get in.
Absolutely.
Before we end, though, we do have to do calling BS. We got to do calling bullshit, as you know. Expert in your field, tell us some BS you'd like to call out.
Yeah, so I love this part of the show. So the couple of things that I want to call BS on, you know, not honestly, it's not super groundbreaking, but I think they deserve repeating. The first is that setting boundaries is selfish. That is a classic thing that I think everybody has felt in their life. And it's something that I talk a lot about with clients. Setting boundaries is not selfish. And I think that goes back to, again, the narrative that we have around what it means to set the limits that we have. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that this idea that boundaries are for other people. So boundaries are for us. Boundaries are not to like keep other people in line and make sure that people aren't acting a fool because we can't control other people. Boundaries are to protect us. Boundaries are to help us have healthy interactions with the world, with our workplace, the communities we interact in. It's for us. And so when we're thinking about our boundaries, I think we have to get clear on what is the benefit that's going to have for us and what are we going to do ultimately to keep it? Because it's about us and the things that are within our control. So those are the big things that I wanted to call out.
Love. That's amazing. So Taylor, where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me at the therapy group. If you want to work with me, absolutely shoot me an email through the website. I also have an Instagram account that I have neglected, unfortunately, but I do plan to get back to.
It's really good.
It's a fun thing that I'm trying to like slowly like weave back in my life. But if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at the Self Care Kitchen. I think it's actually at _ the Self Care Kitchen.
We'll tag it.
Yes. So please follow me there. And I'm excited to do the workshop.
Yes. And once again, if you're interested in joining this workshop, you can reach out to us at contact@thetherapygroup.com. We will get you set up. And once again, if you can't make it into this cohort, we will get you into the next one. It's in our Philadelphia office Wednesday evening. So reach on out if you're interested in being in this next cohort.
And I think you could also sign up through the website, right? If you go to our site, therapygroup.com, go under workshops. There's a link right there into a Google form that'll get you all set up. Taylor,
thank we love you. You.
We love you.
I love y'all.
Oh, we love
we're
you.
We're so happy. Thank you for coming on, truly. We really appreciate it. And we are so excited for your workshop.
Thank y'all. This has been so wonderful. I'm so grateful to be able to talk about it and host the workshop. So thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Shrink Chicks.
We'll see you back here next Monday for another session.
In the meantime, if you want a question answered or a topic discussed, follow us on Instagram at ShrinkChicks. And if you're looking to get connected with a therapist like us to start or continue your therapeutic journey, visit thetherapygroup.com. Just fill out a contact form on our website and we will personally match you with one of our amazing therapists.
Also, if you'd be so kind, we'd love a rating review and for you to share with a friend or an enemy or a mother-in-law, honestly, whoever needs it, so that we can keep reaching more people on our mission to bring mental health topics to your ears every week.
Thanks for being here with us. And don't forget to grow yourself. You gotta know yourself.